Kerem was a good vach. Hope all is good. Today's daf is Bava Kama daf Chof Gimel. And Shabu Banu Ligvulam. Obviously, some good news. Baruch Hashem, finally out of Eretz Yisrael. Mr. Hashem, we should be zocha to hear a lot more Besoros Tovos and Yeshua Vegula Bekarov. Amen Kenyaratzon. So we're here at the bottom of Chof Beis Mabez. And we've been talking about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Eshem Shemchitzo, Eshem Shemamono. And Rava has a proof, and he has to back up Rabbi Yochanan that says, Eshem Shemchitzo, that your fire is like your koach, a person's as if you shot arrows, right? When the fire spreads, it's as if your own koach did that damage, and therefore you are chayv. Amar Rava, Rava says, Kro Masnisa Misayele le Rabbi Yochanan. I got a pasuk and I got a brisa, right? Which are, you'll see in a second, basically the same exact thing. Because the brisa simply elaborates on the pasuk. The chthiv pasuk says, ki seitze esh, fire goes out. Now, that's not a full quote. We're going to quote part of it a little bit in a second. Let's just quote the whole pasuk. Ki seitze esh, matza kot simen echal gadish o kama o sadeh. If fire goes out and it finds you, the thorns or a pile of grain or another pile of grain or a field, shalem mishalem hamaver sabeira, where the person, hamaver sabeira, the person who made the fire, right, he has to pay. So the Gemara Darshan, kisetze eish, just back in the Gemara, teitze me atzma, seems like it went on out on its own, right, that's the long, lashon demashmos, right, the Rashi says over here, seems like it went out on its own, i.e. it spread, right, on its own. Right, but it says at the end of the pasuk, yishalem hamaver sabeira, the guy who lit the fire is chayev, shvamina eisho mishim chitzo, that seems to imply, again, the guy who's, again, the pasuk seems to imply, right, that the koach of the person is one who set the fire, meaning that we started with the fire itself, right, going, and then we talk about the guy who lit the fire to begin with, right, so that seems to imply that it's just the extension of the person's koach. That's how Rashi right here explains. Masniza, what about the Brisa? The Brisa basically darshens out this exact thing from the pasuk. Titania, as the Brisa says, pasuk hakasuv benizke mamono. The first of Torah talks about the mamon damaging, meaning that the fire seems to be spreading on its own. V'siyem benizke gufo, and it ends up, or at the end of the pasuk says, right, that it says the mavir sabera, the person who actually lights the fire, is the one who's going to pay. And therefore, right, as the Gemara says, right, lo malacha isha mishim chitzo, teaches that Rabbi Yochanan's position, that ishav Mishum Chitzu. Okay, right. Amar Rava, Rava says, Kasha Leila Abaye. Abaye had a Kasha. Lama Damar, Eish Mishum Chitzu. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Tamun Be'ish, Tepater Rachmana Heche Mishkaguzla. We know that there's a special, we talked about already at the beginning of the Masechta, right, there's a special Kula, I guess, a special halacha, right, by fire, by eish, that tamun is pater. It's a machlokes, we're going to talk about it, but tamun is, according to the Tanakhama, but tamun is pater. That's the Rabbanan Shita. So in case tamun is, basically, if something is hidden in a field, right, you light the field on fire, and your needle is hiding in a haystack, or let's say something more valuable is kind of hidden in the field over there, so you're not going to be chayev if your fire burns it down, because it was tamun. Problem is, right, if it's your koach, right, we say eishim mishim chitzo, we say that's your koach that is burning down, right, this fire, why would there be a case of a ptur of tamun? Right, so how does that make any sense, right? If you shoot something, right, it's your koach that is damaging, right? And regardless of what you damage, right, if you're, you know, breaking windows, or you're breaking a car, or you're shooting an arrow, and you shoot through three pieces of clothing, and you didn't realize the middle one is there, so obviously you have to pay for the middle one. Wait, that's not that doesn't make any sense. So the v'nichol, and he answered, could go into enough with deleika lotzel chotzer, enough like God there shalom machmas deleika. But the case could be where there was a fire in your chotzer. Yeah, but and then the walls of the chatzar, the fence of the chatzar fell down, not because of the fire, right, but because stam it fell down. And then the fire went and burned somebody else. Because the hasam, because in that case, kolu lo chitzov, because in that case, his arrow, right, stopped. I.e., if I shoot an arrow at a wall, and then the wall disappears, and then I damage something from behind the wall. So obviously I'm not going to be chayiv, because the arrow, really, when I shot it, which should only have gone up until the wall. Right, so the same thing over here. If you're telling me Eishim Mishim Chitzo, and then you shoot an arrow, and the chor of the wall should have stopped it. And the only reason that the fire spread to someone else's field is because it fell down for whatever reason, not because of the fire. So in that case, right, then that's going to be, you know, then you're going to be potter. Okay, so that would be a case of tumma where you're going to be bothered. So Gemara says Yachiv, but if that's true, l'inyan gilui namikol chetzio. But what does that have to do with tumun? What does that have to do with this, the case where something is hidden? Right, that should be true of everything in the other guy's field. So Gemara says, and this is we're reworking, re-understanding the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. El lamanda islay mishum chetzio. Islay nami mishum mamono. So Rabbi Yochanan holds both. That the Eish is chayev not only mishem chitzo from the person's own koch, but also because it is considered to be right, your mamon, your property. Kagon in the case kagon, right, and in the case, so therefore tamon, a case of tamon is kagon shahayelo legodra velo godra. The person should have put up the fence, should have rebuilt the fence, and they didn't. To awesome shoruhu, because in that case, right, it's considered to be your property, it's just your shore. Full tough abape, right, but you didn't kind of close the door in front of him, right? You didn't guard it properly. I mean, that's in the case we're going to have a tumun, right? It fell beforehand. You were able to, you should have rebuilt it, but you didn't, right? That's as if, like, and you didn't close the door in front of the ox. Enechanami, you're going to be chayiv. Right, but you're not going to be chayv for tamun, since you could have stopped it, right? But you didn't. Right, you're chayv for anything that's out in the open, meaning you're negligible in terms of things that are out in the open, right? But lechora, right, if you didn't see it, so in that case you're going to be potter because you didn't see what it was. That's the specific case of tamun by Kohen Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara just says one second. If you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Reish Lakish, so it might be nice. So what's an afkamina, right? We said an afkamina yesterday, if you remember. Is a case where someone doesn't own the fire, right? You, it's not your fire that damaged, right? So, okay, in that case, you could say if it's your property, so then it's not your property, so you're not chayev. That's the Reish Lakish, say you're potter, right? If it's your koch, then your koch still damaged the other guy. But if you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds a Reish Lakish, so what's a nafkamina? The Gemara says, the nafkamina could be we're going to be chayev four things, meaning if your fire burned a person, right, and then you're going to be chayev for nezek, not only damage, not only nezek, but tsar, ripoy, shevis, and boshes, right, the four things that you'd be you'd have to pay for, right, if you damage, right, as someone else. Okay, and now obviously there's a lot more to kind of work out and sort out. Now that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Reish Lakish, to go back and kind of figure out, etc. But obviously in the Daf Yomi Limud, we're gonna hold it there. Okay, back in the Mishnah again. It's kind of funny that we're quoting it again, but we kind of quoted this yesterday. But all right, either back into it. Al Charora Mishalim, right? We said about the dog, right? It takes the food, then he burns down a pile of grain, whatever. The food has a fire on it, has a coal on it. So he's gonna pay on the Charora on the food. He's going to pay, right, Nezek Shalim, and on the Godish, he's going to pay Chatzi Nezek. So Gemara says, Man Chayev. Who is Chayev? Obviously, Balakelev, right, the guy who owns the dog. So Gemara says, V'li Chayev Nami Balakachalas. Well, one second. How did the dog get the coal, right? Clearly, it was in a scenario where the guy didn't guard his coal properly. He was sitting out there, and the dog took the coal, right? So clearly, the guy who owns the gechelas should also be chayev. So Gemara says, no, the case is b'shishimer gechalto. No, the guy, he washed over his coal properly. So Gemara says, what do you mean? He kishimer gechalto, my boy kelevasam. How did the dog get the coal, right, if the guy was put the coal in a proper place? So Gemara says, b'shechaser, where the dog dug underneath, whatever fence it was, and got to the coal that way. So Amar Marv Mari Bereder of Gehana, Zosumer is apparently, what do you see from there? That's Dam Telosos Chosuras, it's all Kalev. Right? If regular, normal, proper fences and doors, right, are considered to be Chosuras, that it's normal, right, for a dog to go under, right, and get the coal, because then you get, otherwise it would be, if it was not normal, right, then you'd be a case of Nezek Shalem, right? The Chatzi Nezek, because that would be a case of Karet. Right? But if it is normal, so if you're going to pay Nezek Shalem, that tells me that it is normal for dogs to go under doors. And then, okay. Now the Gemara said, Da'ach La'Hecha. Now, one second. I'm just further analyzing this case in the Mishnah. Where exactly is the dog eating this food? Elim Da'achal B'Gadish Da'alma. If it just went into some random pile of grain, right, and some other, you went five stories down and ate it by the other guy's grain, some random guy's grain. One second, to be chayev for the food, right, that's shein, right, that's normal case of shein. You have to be beer b'steracher. You have to be in the reshus of the guy, right, you're damaging, of the guy who, or of the food's owner. So then that doesn't work. I mean, so it must be a case, that no, it must be the case where the food and the pile of grain has to belong to the same person. So Gemara says, okay, fine. Tif showed, and apparently what can you see from this, that pia para, that the mouth of a cow, kechatzer hanizak dami, that the mouth of the cow is considered to be the chatzer hanizak. It's as if it is the chatzer of the person who got damaged, meaning in Hanami, that one second, hold on. Meaning, and therefore, the mouth of the cow is considered to be sde'acher. Meaning, that's because the lechora, where does the damage to the food happen? Obviously, in the mouth, right, of the cow or the dog, right, as we just talked about in a second. But lechora, we're going to see exactly. This is going to become clear, more clear in a minute. But obviously, since Shein is chayiv, right, b'sde'acher, meaning in the stay, in the reshus, right, of the person who got damaged. Right, so then you have to say that the mouth, right, where the cow is standing, not only that it happens on the guy's property, but where the food is disappearing into, where the damage is happening, is considered to be the reshus hanizak. The ikah chotzer hamazik, because if it's considered to be the property or the chotzer of the damager dummy, right, so then lemalei, and then you could say to him, my boy riftcha, ebepumet de kalboi, right, that what is your food doing, right, in my kalba, in my kelev, in my dogs. In my dog's mouth. Now, obviously, that's hilarious, but because the guy didn't put it in the dog's mouth. But meaning, if we say again, this is just saying something that might have seemed obvious, but you will see in a second that this was actually a shaila, and we're going to go through it pretty much more or less until we get to the Mishnah. That what do you judge, right? The mouth of the animal, because again, the animal owns to the damager, right? And the chora, but the animal is standing in the property of the guy who got damaged and eating the guy who got damaged food. So how do you view, right, the mouth, which is doing the damage? Where is that? What rishus is that? Is that the guy who damaged or the guy who is damaging? So Gemara says, well, must be, right, if you're telling me that, what's the case of the dog ate the food in the rishus anizak, in the property of the guy who got damaged, right, and therefore he pays an ezek shalom, and therefore he has to pay. It must be that the mouth of the dog, and therefore the mouth of the cow, as we phrased it, has to be considered to be the property, right, the rishus of the nizak, the property of the guy who got damaged, because otherwise he wouldn't pay, right, an ezek shalom, because Shane has to be bier b'ster acher, it has to be in the other guy's property. So Gemara says diboy lehu, because this was actually, right, a shaila that was asked, right, pi para kechatzer nizak dami o kechatzer hamazik dami. As we said before, right, is it the property of the damager or the damagee or the guy who got damaged? The marta kechatzer hamazik dami. The problem is, as obvious, if you tell me it's considered to be the chatzer hamazik, it's as if the cow, right, the person who owns the cow, that his mouth is considered to be the property of, or the chatzer of, the domain of, is probably the best word to use, the domain of the person who damaged, of the guy, owner of the cow. So Shane Chayv Rachmana Hechem Mishkachasla. How are you ever going to have a case of Shane? Shane has to be, right, damages of Shane has to be Bistecher in the Nizak, in the damaged person's property. If you tell me that the mouth of the cow belongs to the owner of the cow, or is considered to be his or show, so how could you ever have a case, right, where the guy... Where the cow is going to be chayev, where the guy's going to be chayev for Shane, right? How do you ever have that case, right? We said, we started up in Masechta, right? Shane, right, is one of the avamaziks, right? One of the avos. It says in the pasuk, right? Bir b'steyacher. What is that case? So Amar Rav Mari, Breid Rav Kana, Kegon Shenitchacha, Vakoto La'anasa, V'tin V'peres La'anasa. The case is where he didn't eat anything at all. Right? We said those two are cases are told us of Shane, where he rubbed against the animal, rubbed against the wall, right, for its own pleasure, and Tin V'peres La'anasa, and it also, right, we had Machogus, what exactly that is, but it destroyed, right, let's say he went to the bathroom, for example, one of the opinions, on top of these fruits, and that was for the animal's hana. Maskalar Marzutra, Marzutra said, what do you mean? Habina kasher yivayer hagalala tumo v'leka. Right, we said about Shane, right, that kasher yivayer hagalala tumo, that's one of the psukim we quoted, or right, in the first couple of dapim, and it has to be destroyed. That pasuk means that yivayer hagalala ad tumo, that you have to destroy the item ad tumo until it's completely gone. So what do you mean? You're rubbing up against the wall? That's not destroying the item that you damaged. So Ravina Amr, the Shaf tell me, right? Avashi Amr, the Psoi Psuye. There are two possibilities. Ravina says either it rubbed out a certain sort of picture on the wall, or Avashi says where it kind of pressed, right, and crushed the fruit until the ground so you couldn't, right, so it's completely gone. Okay, so still we have these shailas now. How is it considered chatzer amazik? Is it chatzer anizak? Right, our case seems to imply that's like chatzer anizak. That's the dog case. And we'll bring a couple other proofs. And we'll figure it out. In Echanami, we kind of like assume from our Mishnah that it's like Chatzar Nizak, but okay, we're going to still go back and forth with a couple of other cases. Tashma, I'll bring you a proof. Shisa Boes HaKelev, Shisa Boes HaNachash, Potter. If you sick a dog or a snake, right, on a person, you're going to be potter. What do you mean potter? What do you mean potter? It's like a man potter. Who's potter? Again, if let's say you didn't kill anybody. We'll get to that in a second. But let's say you damage somebody. If you sick these animals on a person, you're going to be potter. Who is potter? Right? Mishasa potter? V'chayev balakelev. If you tell me that the mishasa, the guy who sicked the animal on him, right, he's going to be potter, but the guy who owns the animal is chayev. So apparently that's what we see. Meaning that seems to be what you're telling me. Someone's going to be chayev for this damage, right? Animal damaged, right? So if the guy who sicked the animal on his potter, it must be the guy who owns the animal, right? He's going to be chayev. Problem is, if you tell me that the animal's mouth is like the chutzer hamazik, that the damager, right? Lemale my boy the cowboy. You could say, again, this is kind of hilarious, but what is your hand doing in my dog's mouth? Meaning, because the halakha is, if you go into someone's property, right, and their shore gores you, right, or chas shalom, or their dog bites you. Again, let's say, take a shore, so it's not so graphic, right? Let's say your shore goes onto someone else's property, it gets gored. So you don't get any damages. What was your shore doing there? So similarly, right, if you, let's say you walk onto someone's property and their dog bites you, what are you doing on that guy's property? So if it's considered to be chutzar hamazik, right, the property of the damager, so you could say the same thing rhetorically, obviously, but what is your hand doing in the dog's mouth? So, ima pater af mishasa. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that the mishasa, that the guy who sicked the animal on him is pater, and the guy who owns the animal is chayev, means everybody's pater. Everybody's in that case, right? Obviously, the guy who's not involved here, the guy who owns the dog or the snake, right, he's not here, he's not in the picture, obviously he's going to be chayev. Or you could say, where a case where they didn't stick the hand into the animal's mouth, but it just used the teeth, right, and of the animal, right, and they cut him that way, so that way, right, you wouldn't have the mouth involved, and it's not relative shiloh whatsoever. Tashma, bring you another proof, whether it's considered to be, whether the mouth of the dog is, or the para is considered to be chatzar mazik or chatzar nizak. Hisich bo esanachas. As a nachash, right? If you stab or you make the snake bite somebody, in this case, we killed him. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayv misa. Chum says you're not chayv misa. Bar Bar Yaakov, what he says, what's going on? Tim Salomar, when we think about this, you'll say, a different Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is he holding that makes you chayv? He holds that eris nachash bein shinavu omeid, that the poison, what's the word? Oh my gosh, what's the word? The venom of the snake, right, is mamish there in the snake's teeth. So when you put a snake, right, you hold the snake by the neck and, you know, he bites down on somebody and kills him. So it's like you're injecting him with a syringe, right, with poison. And therefore you're chayef. Therefore you're going to punish him with saif, which is the punishment. You're going to cut his head off. That's hereg, that's the punishment you get in Beis Din for killing somebody, and the snake is potter. It's hilarious to say the snake is potter, but that would be the din, right? If an animal kills somebody, we stone the animal. So the snake is going to be potter in that case. Good. Fine. So the different chachamim, but what are the chachamim holding? So eris nachash me atzmo meki. They must be holding that the snake doesn't choose necessarily to poison, right, somebody else. It comes out from itself, and it chooses on its own. It does choose. What did I say? It doesn't. It does choose. A snake does choose to poison when it wants. And the fichach, therefore, nachash b'skilu makish poter. Therefore, if you put a snake on somebody and it bit, so that doesn't necessarily kill him. Right? And the snake is the one who decided to kill him to let out its poison, its venom, and therefore you're going to kill a snake, but you're not going to kill the guy who bit him. V'yamarta pi paro kechatzar hamazik dami. If you tell me that the mouth of the cow or our snake, right, is considered to be the chatzar hamazik, so lemelei, why should you say, why can't you say, my boyad chavapumi de chavai? Again, you could rhetorically, kind of hilariously say, what is your hand doing in my snake's mouth? Right, get it out of there, because again, just like you could walk, if you walk onto someone else's property and you get damaged, it's not their problem. So do over here. So Gemara says, okay, that is meaning if you walked onto someone's property and you get bit by their dog, so yeah, you shouldn't have been on their property. That's only an argument you can make by damages. Okay, he doesn't have to pay for the refuah to fix your hand if it got bit. But for murder, right, but that's not going to get rid of, we don't say that the fact that you were on someone's property, right, that's not going to necessarily get the animal out of killed. Meaning the snake still killed you. Therefore, we're going to kill the snake in question. Meaning just because the mouth of the snake is considered to be chatzar hamazik, that's not a patur. That's not going to get the snake out of it's hilarious to say, it was not going to get a snake out of getting killed. Meaning that's, it's only relevant for the discussion of Nezikin, of damages. But no, Tamra, how do I know? The Tanya approved you from a Braisa. If guy goes into the property of someone else, right, and then the someone else's shore, right, kills him, so hashor baskila, so you kill the shore, right, and that's exactly our proof, where you still kill the ox, right, but bailim turim in a kofar, the baal, the owner, doesn't have to pay kofar. Kofar is a payment that they would have to pay to atone for their own sins, right, if they didn't watch their shor amua, then it went to gored somebody else. But here, if it's your own property, so you don't have to gored, that's not a case where you're going to be chai for, that's not your problem. But, right, and then, so the Gemara explains, right, bailim turim in a kofar, my time, and why is that? Amar le b'shuzi, my boys. You can say, what are you doing in my property? B'shoro nami le my boys b'shuzi. So you could, why don't you make that claim by the shore also? Why would you kill the shore? So we say here the shore of Skila. So Ellis, apparently, what do you see? Lenin Katala, Lo Arminan. Apparently, we see, right, we don't say that necessarily by animals, and that's not a good claim. You can't make it, right? And the animal is still going to put the animal to death in that case. Okay, let's finish up with a bit of a story. Tell the Mishnah. Hanu izi de Beit Tarvu, the Abu Masudi Lidar of Yosef. Apparently, the Beit Tarvu goats, right, were bothering and causing damage to Rav Yosef. And Amar Lei L'Abaye, so he went to Abaye, and he said, Zil Emelahu L'Marayu D'Litzninu. Can you please go tell these people to watch their goats? So Emile, he said to them, "Am I Azil? Why should I go? Ideas Lina, because if I go to them, I'm really, they'll just say to me, Lugder Magdir Ba'ari. Right? What do you mean? Rav Yosef should build a fence. It's not our problem. Right? It's not the field is open. Right? He's got to actually make a fence. Now, that's not actually a good claim. For whatever reason, right, Tosos says over here, Abaye didn't really want to go do that. That really Rav Yosef is correct, meaning that the person has to kind of fence in his animal. He doesn't have to say, my animal can roam everywhere, right, and you have to fence off your property. That's not a proper claim, but okay, for whatever reason, Abaye didn't want to go for Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, One second, if everybody had to make a fence around their own rishos, right, how would you ever have a case of Shane, right? Again, Shane has to be b'steacher, right? It has to be in someone else's property. If everyone was chayiv to put a fence around their property, how in the world can you get an animal onto someone else's property? It's all fenced off. The Gemara says, because Shechasra. Now, the case is either the animal dug underneath, Inami, or Denafil Guda Balela, or if the fence fell down right at night and the animal kind of walked right on. Machriz of Yosef, Itim or Rabba, either of Yosef or Rabba said the following. And maybe that's why it's Rav Yosef, maybe related to this. Tesalkin le'ila u'denachtin le'tachta. Those who are going up and those who are going down, meaning it goes from going up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or going down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hani izi deshuka demafsidei masrina b'marayu trei utlazes zimni. They are goats that are running wild, and they're supposed to be deshuka. They're supposed to be the marketplace. They're supposed to be shechted, right? Eventually, on the day of the marketplace, we're going to warn the owners a couple of times. Itzai. If they listen and they kind of walk, you know, they guard their goats, they're fine. Pavilo, but if they don't, then I'm going to say to them, Tiv amasachto of a couple zuzoch. We're going to go to the butcher and say, go shech them, even though it's not on the day of the market. And because again, you're not taking responsibility, right, over these goats, and they're going and damaging people. Tosus says, interesting. If you look at Tosus, hinu easy. Davka bahanu dekaimi lishchida. We're only talking about goats that are ready to be shechted. The afogav the sheshilmu mashiziku, because it's not because that these people don't have to pay for the damage the goats cause. They do have to pay. Goats are running wild, damaging people. So the people could just be like, okay, I'm not going to guard my goat, and I'll just pay whatever they damage. So you can't say that. Lo boy lemekam b'hadai uludina, because we're not going to obligate other people to take these people to Beis Din so they can get their money. And also, v'zin nami delekasade. And also, sometimes it'll happen that there are no witnesses. So for a goat that's going to be shechted, we can say shechted a couple of days early, and because you're not guarding it, you're going to lose out, right, on the fair market value, because you're shechting it on a random day, right, and not, let's say, Black Friday or Rosh Chodesh or before Yom Tov or whatever. Aval ez lechalva rachol legizda, but if you have some sort of goat that was there for milking, or a sheep that was for its wool, then the yochol omer, then we're not going to say that. Because she has a gishalim, then the guy can say, say, well, my animal damages, I'll pay you. Because we just had that story, right? By the case of Beit Arvu, right? What happened? The Amar Lei, because Rav Yosef wanted them to say, Zil Atzninu, he said, please go guard them, please go watch over them, hide them away. Velo Amar Zil Shechtinu, because he didn't say, otherwise I'm going to shecht your goats. Apparently we see, just from the juxtaposition of the two stories, says Tosos, right, that the halacha would be different if the animal wasn't already omer the shechita. You couldn't force the owner to shech them. Instead, he would have to go pay damages and based it. Okay, we'll go weiter in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this. Just one programming note. I am, Mitzvah Shem, flying to Chutz La'aretz tomorrow. Speaking of going from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, right, up and down. So I am flying Bli Nether tomorrow night, so I'm not sure exactly how many Shurim I'm going to be able to record this week, but at the very least, right, Mitzvah Shem, we will reconvene on next Motzei Shabbos. I may be able to get one or two in there, so I'll definitely try and bring a recorder. But either way, a Shavuot Tov and a good Vach, and let's hear Besaros Tovos, and keep on learning in the Schus of Am Yisrael. Amen, Ken Yerotzen.